Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11, again, but from a different perspective this time. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. All right, now in this particular verse, we're just going to study about wealth, and we're going to study it from the standpoint of what shows up in the Gospels. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Now that's very practical. And I got to thinking about that this morning as I was reading my Bible and reading some stuff in the Gospels. I got to thinking, you know, there is an awful lot in the Gospels about money. And so before we leave this subject, I wanted to give you a broad overview of every verse in the New Testament from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that had anything to do with money. And notice, when we're finished, the characteristic of this stuff that we all work so hard to get, all work so hard to keep, all worry about so much, we better find out what God has to say about it. I think it'd be very interesting to us all. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11, wealth. Now, practically speaking, and some of this is just going to be very random. In other words, I'm not going to take every verse that shows up, and I'm going to go through this very quickly because there's a lot of information. But practically speaking, when we read through the Bible, we learn some very important things about money. From Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Surprisingly, the Lord had so much to say about that subject, and I think it's because he knew we think about it so much. The first thing that we want to, and I mean there are so many points you couldn't possibly get all these down unless you got a copy of this and studied out every one of them individually, which you're welcome to do. All you have to do is call us and ask us. All right, the first thing about money is easy come, easy go. We studied a lot about that yesterday. Easy come, easy go. In Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32, we read about the prodigal son. And you know what we read? He wasted his substance with riotous living. And you know something? Our world is designed to get your money with riotous living. There are bars. There are movie theaters. There are vacation plans. There are entertainment centers. There are stores. I mean, to tell you, once you've got that nickel, man, everybody's got his hand out to get it. Easy come, easy go. The next thing is you got to use wisdom with it. When you have a $10 bill in your pocket, you better pray and ask God what he wants you to do with that money, because since it is easy come, easy go, you want to make sure that it's going to count. Now, in Luke 14, 28, the Lord told us in a parable that we got to count the cost of a tower before we build. You got to know what it's going to cost you. I remember when we built this church building, we saved up a lot of money. We had 60% of the money we needed before we ever started. And I had been talking to the banker for 2 years before we ever started, letting him know where we were and what we were planning. And we sat down and we came up with a budget on this building. And, you know, we were probably within 5% of that budget by the time we finished. And we would have been right on the money, but when we got close to the end and had enough money to take care of some other things we weren't planning to do, we went ahead and did those things too. And it's a good thing that we were able to count that cost, because it gave everybody a real good sense of what it was going to take to get this job done. You got to know what kind of burden you're getting into. And you know something? Though we had gone ahead and made provisions for an interim construction loan, we never had to draw, not one time, against that loan. Folks just took care of it. No pledge cards, no stewardship campaigns, no begging, no sales. I mean, the Lord just took care of it. And it's a wonderful thing. But you got to use wisdom with it. You really got to think about things. You better find out what a thing is going to cost before you go into it and what effect it's going to have on your budget. I was talking to some folks the other day, and they were getting ready to buy a very expensive vehicle and frankly didn't have the kind of money that it took to buy that vehicle. And as I thought about what they were doing, I realized this thing is going to be a source of contention between them later. Here's another thing from the Bible, from the New Testament. Be content with your wages. That's what John the Baptist told the soldiers when they came wondering how they should repent before the kingdom of heaven. in Luke 3:14. He said, be content with your wages. And we see a very good example of that in Matthew chapter 20. Jesus Christ gave another parable of a man that agreed with the laborers at the beginning of the work day for a penny a day. Now, it's not a copper like you and I have, but it was a full day's wage, and it was a fair wage. But during the day, that man kept hiring people, and he said, I'll pay you whatever's right. And at the end of the day, when he settled up with them all, you know what he did? He gave them all a penny a day, and the people that received the penny that had agreed for it with him for the penny were upset with him for giving them what he agreed to give them when he gave others as much as they had made. And boy, they were really upset about that. And the Lord said, hey, man, this is my money. And you and I had an agreement. And you're going to find out in the business world that there are people that are doing work and they're not working as hard as you are. And it's going to cause you to be discontented. And let me tell you something. That is going to spoil it for you. You're not working just for the dollar. Although you've got to be concerned that you've got enough money to take care of your bills. That's not what you're doing out there. You know what you're doing? You're working for the Lord. Not with eye services, men pleasers, but as unto the Lord. You got to watch that thing. Practically speaking, you got to pay your taxes. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ sent Peter to go catch a fish. And we can't do it that way, but that fish had a silver coin in there. And Peter used that to pay the tribute for Jesus and for Peter. Jesus even told the Pharisees when they came challenging him on some questions, trying to trick him. He said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar and unto God the things that are God. You got to pay your taxes. You just have to do it. And I know that there are Christians that have tried to cheat on that thing before. I'll tell you what, it's going to come back and bite you. And you don't want to go there. I'll tell you something else. If you borrow it, you got to pay it back. That's practical. That's in the New Testament. Wealth. We're studying about wealth in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. And one thing about wealth is if you borrow it, you got to pay it back. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 26, when Jesus Christ is laying down the constitution for his kingdom, he talks about a fella not paying what he owes another fella. And he says that guy could be cast into prison till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. And that's what a Christian should do, is pay his debts. Now, I know a preacher one time that took over a church, and he took it over for a guy that had done a fairly decent job with it, and then I'll tell you, they built up the fund, and the treasurer got $3 million. How he did it, I don't know, but he got $3 million out of that church. And as a result, they couldn't pay their bills, and he had to file bankruptcy. And when they got to the bankruptcy court, the judge said, you'll pay 25 cents on the dollar. And that preacher said, no, I won't. We're going to pay dollar for dollar, and he paid it all. That judge was so overwhelmed by his integrity that he started going to church at that guy's church. I mean, I think that had something to do with that fella getting saved. Why? Because that preacher knew that although they had gotten into that problem and had indebtedness on top of it that was now going to be impossible to pay, they had to pay it. And they paid it. You borrow it, you got to pay it. I'll tell you something else, practically speaking about wealth that we learn from studying the New Testament. As we study about wealth, you can't use wealth to buy your health. In Luke 8:43, there was a woman that spent all of her living on physicians and was not healed. I mean, in other words, you have these good insurance plans. I'm not telling you shouldn't, but your confidence should not be in those plans and in your insurance and in your savings. Your confidence should be in the Lord, because there can come a day when you will exceed the limits of your insurance policy and your budget, and you won't still be better than you were. If God doesn't take care of those matters, you're not going to get fixed. God's got to be in charge of your health. Those are practical things that you learn from the Bible about wealth. Don't expect wealth to give you good health. Don't expect to be able to borrow it and not pay it back. And if you're borrowing something and you're afraid you won't be able to pay it back, then don't borrow it. Pay your taxes, be content with your wages, use wisdom with the money. Find out what a thing is going to cost before you ever spend the money, and if you can't afford it, wait till you can. Or just go without it. And remember, easy come, easy go. Here today, gone tomorrow. All right, now that's some practical advice about money, about wealth. Here's some other advice, what to do about giving it. We know as Christians that God expects us and desires for us to give some money. God loveth a cheerful giver. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. We know that God's in favor of that. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, you're supposed to lay up your treasures in heaven and not in earth, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we know that he wants us to do it. What are we to do about it? Well, the first thing to do is give it. Lay it up on the other side. I tell you what, you don't have a better promise in the Bible concerning money than that one right there. People say you can't take it with you, but you know something? When you give it to the Lord, it will be there for you. Give it. I'll tell you something else it'll do when you do give. I've watched it over and over and over and over and over and over again so many times that I know I'm giving you the right kind of advice. If your finances are crippled right now and you don't know what to do about it, start tithing. Somebody said, well, I heard another preacher say tithing's not in the New Testament. You know what? Tithing's in the Bible. The Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. The first man that ever tithed, tithed before the law. And let me tell you what happened. Every Christian I know that tithes does not have the same struggles as Christians who don't. Period. End of story. I've seen it by the Bible. I've seen it experientially. And I'll tell you what, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If the Lord wants us to do it, then do it. Lay it up on the other side. I'll tell you something else. If you want to know about the New Testament and giving, whether or not it should, Jesus gave it all. That's right. In the parables of the kingdom of heaven in Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, he said the kingdom of heaven is like a man that's seeking goodly pearls. When he found the pearl of great price, he sold all that he had and bought that pearl. Now that's what Jesus did. According to John chapter 15, verse 13, he laid down his life for us. And according to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, he was rich and became poor that we might be made rich. Now if Jesus can give it all, he set the example. Somebody says, well, I don't see tithing in the New Testament. No, you don't. You know what you see? You see people selling lands and houses and possessions, and you see your Savior giving it all. You know why the tithe's not mentioned? Because they gave so far above it, they didn't even need to talk about it anymore. There was a woman that anointed Jesus Christ with ointment, and the disciples got upset after Judas Iscariot led the rebellion and said this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. They weren't interested in giving that stuff to the poor. You know what she had done, what Mary had done? She anointed the body of Jesus Christ before his burial, not knowing, God did, but she didn't, that there would never be time, any other time, to anoint his body for the burial. She had to do it then. And you know what? Though it could be sold for 300 pence, you know what that was? That was more than a year's wage. The price didn't matter to her a bit. And it didn't matter to the Lord Jesus Christ a bit. He said, the poor you have with you always, but me you have not always. She was so interested in doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ, she gave a year's wages worth of ointment to take care of something that nobody else in the earth thought to do or could do or did. And he said, wherever this gospel is preached, this that she hath done shall be spoken of her. There was a widow in Mark chapter 12, verses 42 to 44, that gave the greatest offering to the temple that day of anybody that ever gave anything. You know what she gave? 2 mites. It was actually in dollar denomination, the smallest gift. But Jesus said about the others, they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So don't worry about giving too much, and don't worry about giving 10%. If you want things to be right with you and the Lord, you're going to have to be a giver. The promise of God is, and I'm telling you, I've tried it myself. I've seen hundreds try it. I know what I'm telling you, so. In Luke 6:38, circle the verse in your Bible, underline the whole thing. Given, it should be given unto you, and there's other things said about it as well. God's a giving God, and he expects his people to be giving people. And if you're not giving people, you're not going to ever experience the true riches of God's blessings in your life. It's just not going to happen. And let me tell you something. I know you've got a heart to help people. I'm sure you do if you're a Christian. That's something that God puts in us. If you've got a heart for helping others, it's going to cost you something. When Jesus Christ gave the parable of the Good Samaritan, in Luke 10:35, the Good Samaritan spent 2 pence, 2 days' wage, on the fellow and promised to pay the rest if the innkeeper had to pay more than that 2 days' wages to take care of him. When he helped that guy, it cost him something. If you're going to help people, it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to help them repair their cars. You're going to have to help them buy their groceries. You're going to have to help them pay a light bill sometimes. You're going to have to help them with a doctor's bill. You're going to have to help them with something. It's just part of the Christian life, and you've got to get used to it. And that's the New Testament. That's the Gospels. And in the Gospels, he shows you time and time again, you got to give it. Now, you notice, I don't have any embarrassment about telling you that, because on this radio broadcast, we've been on the air for almost 10 years. There was a brief period of time where we were off the air while we were finishing up a church over in Beeville, but for the most part, we've been on the air for 10 years. And you know something? We have never, in 10 years' time, ever asked anybody on the radio for a dime, and we're not going to. If we need money in order to keep the broadcast going, we get off the air because that's when God's through with it. But in the meantime, you got to put up with this. But one thing you won't ever have to worry about, you won't have to worry about us digging in your back pocket to get this word to you. That's not your business. You want to send money in here to help out with the thing? Fine, help yourself. Whatever you do, do what the Holy Spirit wants you to do with it, but make sure you do it for the Lord and give it to the Lord. Man, I tell you, people are so bugged out about it because preachers are begging for it all the time. So let's go talk about that because the Lord has a lot to say about that. What about the preachers? You better be careful with money-grabbing preachers. According to what God told us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you better watch out with money-grabbing preachers. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 to 13, you know what he tells about those great religious leaders of his day? This temple, he said, was a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. Now, that's what they were supposed to have been doing in there. They were supposed to have been in there praying. And what were they doing? Buying and selling and exchanging money and doves and animals and all that kind of stuff. The Lord went in there with a scourge and ran them all out of there. Why? Because they were a bunch of thieves. And you know something? You know something? You know where I'm going with it, right? There are a bunch of thieves in the ministry today. You better watch out with these money-grabbing preachers. Listen, what accountability do they have to you? What are they doing with the money? How much of it goes for the whatever they say it's going for, and how much of it goes in the pocket? You got to be careful with that. He said about the great religious leaders of his day in Matthew 23:14, you devour widows' houses. They take advantage of some poor woman that doesn't have her husband around to help her with her financial, consultation and arrangements, and they take advantage of this poor woman, and when she dies, they get the house, not the kids. They get it. Man, I've seen that kind of thing. In John chapter 10, verse 13, you better be worried about it. You better be concerned about a preacher that all the time is concerned about money. Because he may be, I'm not saying that he is, but he may be a hireling, and the hireling careth not for the sheep. You know what he's into it for? He's into it for the money. Don't you forget, there were 12 disciples. Were real close to Jesus. There were a bunch more than that, but there were 12 disciples that went everywhere and did what the Lord told them to do, raised the dead and healed the sick and cleansed the lepers and cast out devils. And one of those dudes betrayed him. His name was Judas Iscariot. You know what was said about Judas Iscariot? He had the bag. He had the bag. He was the treasurer. He was the money man. It'll corrupt you, man. It will corrupt you. You better watch out for these money-grabbing preachers. He's the one that started the fuss about Mary when she anointed Jesus Christ. Why? He's all the time concerned about money. And sometimes there are preachers all the time concerned about money. Watch out. I'll tell you something else. Enough is enough. When Jesus Christ sent his disciples out in Matthew chapter 10, he said, don't take any gold or silver, brass. Don't even take your scrip, which is a little bag, or a purse. In other words, you'll get that day what you need that day, and tomorrow you'll get what you need tomorrow. That's what he told him. Now, in Luke chapter 22, he changed it a little bit before he went to the cross. He said, "Now, from now on, you better take a purse and a scrip." Well, a scrip is just a small bag, and a purse, that's like a small bit of money. Maybe help him out for a week or something. What he's telling him is you're not going to get money every single day to take care of all your needs. You're going to have to be able to have a little of it. But enough is enough already. When those men went out before, he asked him, he said, "Did you lack anything?" They said, "We lack nothing." They always had the daily needs met, but now he said, take a purse and that'll cover you for a few days. And that's enough. Some of these guys, I'm telling you, man, they got fancy houses, fancy cars, fancy retirement plans, and the whole thing. And look, I don't fault a man that's done well like that. They may have their own money in their own right from other sources besides the ministry. And whatever they want to do with it, that's fine between them and the Lord. It doesn't make any difference. But just watch it, okay? Enough is enough. Now, what about your personal relationship to the Lord and money? What do we find out there? Well, according to in the New Testament about wealth, we find out this. You can only serve one master. Your master is King Jesus. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, here's the deal. You get out there and you start working. You think you're working for a living. You're not working for a living. You're working for the Lord. If you're working right, and if you're out there working for a living, you're going to be frustrated. Now, I was talking to a fellow doing some construction work, and you know what he said to me? He said once he had built up the kind of labor that he did, once he built up a steady income, things got too easy when the money was always there. He told the Lord one time in prayer, he said, my faith's not growing anymore because I'm not ever having to struggle for anything. It's always coming in, and I know it's always coming in. You know what had happened to him? He started serving the money, and when you start serving money, you don't need faith. It gets in the way. I'll tell you something else about that money and your relationship to Jesus Christ. You can't buy eternal life with that money, but it can keep you from it. The Lord said in Matthew 16:26, He said, "What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Boy, that is a profound, profound question. That says in the Fortune 400, one man could own it all. And if he is lost and dies and goes to hell, what does that profit him? Nothing. The rich young ruler came to Jesus Christ, and the Lord said, "Sell all that thou hast and give to the poor. Follow me, take up thy cross. You'll have riches, you'll have treasure in heaven and eternal life." He couldn't do it. Why? Because he trusted in his riches. He said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because he's trusting his riches. And you start trusting your riches, you're not going to be able to buy eternal life, and you probably won't get saved. There was a rich man clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, and he had a beggar at his gate named Lazarus. That poor old rich man wound up in hell, and the beggar wound up in Abraham's bosom. I'm telling you what, you don't have to have a dime to make it to heaven, but if you got too much money, it is liable to keep you out. Why? Because you're going to get to trust in it. I'm going to tell you something. Money amounts to so little in God's eyes. In the parable of the talents, those guys had 5 talents and made 5, 2 talents and made 2. And you know what he told those two guys? He said, "You've been faithful over a few things." It is nothing in God's eyes, a few things. As a matter of fact, the real disciples, when it came time for them to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, they walked away from their money. Andrew and Peter left their nets, and James and John left their father and the ship and the nets. Matthew left the receipt of custom. It didn't make any difference to them. God's going to take care of them. And in your relation to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a real disciple and the Lord wants you to go off and do something for him more than you're doing right now, and you can't do both by keeping up the job you have, real disciples can walk away from it. And I know what I'm talking about. I've told you this before. I was in the banking business as president of a bank for 8 years before I got into the ministry. People say to me, "How'd you do that?" You know what? It's harder to say no to God than it is just to give in and do what he wants you to do. Look, that money will consume your thoughts. He told those disciples, "Take no thought for the morrow, for sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The morrow shall take care of the thoughts of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." That Jesus Christ, what did he say when men wanted to follow him? He said, "The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." He didn't care about any of that stuff. You know why? Because you start managing a portfolio and a house and all that stuff, it'll consume your thoughts. We have a nice house. Got to maintain that stupid thing. When I say stupid, I'm glad for it, but you got to maintain it. You know, because it's got to be painted, and it's got to be cleaned, and it's got to be repaired. It's got to be mowed. And you get you thinking about that stuff. You get to a point where you get more worried about the money than you do the Lord. That one time Jesus Christ healed a man, 2,000 swine went and ran into the river. And the people were more concerned about those pigs that went off in the river than they were that crazy man had finally gotten saved and gotten in his right mind and quit tormenting them in the tombs, because they were too worried about the money. There was another fella, and he was all worried about his money. And he said, the Lord said to him, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. This guy tore down barns to build bigger, and the Lord said, you crazy. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. What happened to him? He laid up treasure for himself, and he was not rich toward God. You got to watch out about that. Now, you think about that and tell me in the last month if you weren't more worried from time to time about certain things in your checking account or certain things that weren't in your checking account than you were about your neighbor going to hell. Gotcha, didn't I? Gotcha. You get to thinking about that checkbook and that savings account and that insurance policy and all those other things, and your neighbor right next door to you is going straight to hell, and you're more worried about that checkbook than you are his soul. Ooh. Say, "Preacher, you're being rough." Yeah, to me too. To me too. Now, there's bad consequences with some of this money. I'll tell you why. Because you can buy off God with it. You can ease your conscience when you're being disobedient to God with money just by giving him a little bit. Over there in Matthew, I think it was Matthew, maybe it was Mark 7:11. You know what happened? It was Mark chapter 7, verse 11. He says, you know what you guys do? You're going to give a gift to get out of honoring your mother and your father. Korban, he called it. To buy off the law on honoring your parents. I know a lot of people that have done that. Ease their conscience when they're being disobedient to God by giving them a little money. You never done that before, have you? I'll tell you what you can do with money. You can do the right thing with the money and the wrong thing with the Savior. When the Pharisees got the money back from Judas Iscariot, they said, "We can't put this in the treasury. This is blood money. Isn't that wild? And they were the ones that gave it to Judas Iscariot to kill Jesus Christ. You can do the right things with the money and the wrong thing with the Savior. That money can corrupt you. They gave large money to the soldiers to lie about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That money will obscure your faith. Those great spiritual religious leaders of their day, the Pharisees in Matthew 23:23, paid their tithe, but omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment and faith and mercy. Why? Money will obscure your faith. When you got plenty of it, you don't need God. You know what you can end up doing with money if you're not careful? You can end up selling the Lord out. Judas Iscariot sold Jesus Christ out for 30 pieces of silver, and he'd travel with him for 3.5 years. You can get going along where money becomes such a god to you that when God himself, who is your God, doesn't take care of you the way you think you ought to be taken care of, you'll sell him out. You'll sell him out. I've seen people do it. It's the saddest thing you've ever seen. They'll neglect the Lord. They'll quit going to church. They'll neglect their prayers. They'll neglect time in the Bible, and they'll spend all their time with the money. And that's the same thing Judas Iscariot did when he sold out the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Is your relationship to the Lord not worth more than your annual salary? Come on. You know what you need? You know what I need? I'm telling you, this thing on wealth, there's a lot in the Gospels about it. You know what you need and you know what I need? You and I need God more than we need anything else in this life. You need God more than you need money. In John chapter 6, verses 6 to 9, Jesus Christ did more with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes than what 200 penny worth of bread could do. He fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, which was more than what they could have done with 200 penny worth of bread. 200 penny worth of bread is about, well, that's 200 days' wages, 200 full days of work. And he did more with that by blessing that little gift than he did with all that. Now, you and I need God more than we need money. And when we're talking about this wealth, you know something we need to remember. Jesus Christ had a whole lot to say about it. Practical things to say about it. Spiritual things to say about it. What to watch out for about it. How to handle it and what not to do with it. And that's what we've seen today. And I pray when you're reading through those Gospels, you'll pay careful attention. And I pray we'll remember these things and not get so tripped up. If wealth has got you by the neck like a noose, slip yourself out of the noose and get back with God. It'll help you immensely.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.